we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us today. Give us the anointing to make this preaching possible. God, we ask that you'd anoint the ears, Lord. We want to come out of here, Lord, out of this service today, Lord, more exposed to you, more open to you, Lord. And Father, we ask you put a rebuke on the enemy, Lord, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen. And why I say put on humility, I've been at meeting after meeting, and the preacher gets up there, and he'll look out across the audience, and they just do it. It's become a habit. And they'll say, oh, I'd rather Brother So-and-so be up here. I'd rather Brother So-and-so be up here. And I told one of them one time, I said, then you need to sit down. Because my Bible teaches me when God gives the man of God a message, it's burning in his heart. It's burning in his bones. And I, when I take the pulpit, it's because God has given me something to give to his people. And I would rather no one else be up here when God give me a message to give to my people. Amen. We really need to get settled and see the truth of some things. And I want you to go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And I've been using part of this as my memory verse. Verse 11 is my memory verse. Thy word I have hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. But I want to start in verse 10. With my whole heart, David says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. These are some things we need to just keep and just in our mind and think about these and think about these. We live in very dangerous times. We live in very dangerous times. Amen. Go to 2 Timothy. Got a little bit of turning here to do for a minute, and then we'll settle in. We'll be getting in the third chapter. But we live in some dangerous times according to Scripture. And as we look here, and as I sit back, a pastor, my grandmother used to tell me, and it is in Bible, a pastor is the watchman on the wall. And she'd tell me this before I was even interested in church. I'm talking as a young man. My grandmother would say, a pastor is the watchman on the wall. He's in a little higher position where he can look out and see what's coming so he can warn the people. He's not higher, but he's just in a little higher elevation, so to speak, where he can see trouble coming because God gives him messages. That's why God gives us messages, to warn us. And look what, over the last year, 2 years, some of the things we've been preaching, Brother Mike's been preaching, we've heard in Sunday school, led us right up to coronavirus. That we would not be all panic-stricken and not knowing what to do. But God led us up to these things. Amen. But as the watchman, and I've been watching our congregation, because I'd be a bad pastor if I didn't, looking out over our congregation, and in also talking with other pastors, there is an Antichrist spirit working on many today. When you listen to the excuses people give today for sin, lack of interest in the things of God, and then look at Scripture, you can see it's clear people are getting away from God's Word and going on feelings, what they want, what they think's right, what they feel like doing, and they're away from God's Word, and you're paying a price for it. You're paying a price for it. You're losing your joy. You're losing your thrill. You're losing your excitement when God does something. You're losing your need of God. You're losing your need of your brothers and sisters. And you can argue with me, but Scripture spells it out clearly. Go over to Revelations, and the Church of God prophecy preachers used to preach that Laodicea was our day and time, And the problem Christ had with them was, we have need of nothing. We're comfortable. We're fine. You may need three services a week, but I only need one or two. You may need to meet with your brothers and sisters, but I can stay home and get what you got. You're believing a lie. Amen. I'm going to be bold about these things. And it's why you don't have the joy you once had. Scripture will back it all up. In 2 Timothy, listen to me. People are getting away from God's Word, and it is leading to sin. Someone says, well, I ain't got no sin in my life. Well, be careful how you say that. Because you might find once you get done compared to Scripture, you might find you have some. There's too much sin hiding in the camp. There's too much sin hiding in the camp, or what it calls itself, the church. Listen to me. Scripture teaches there's no sin in the body of Christ. And if you say you're in the church, you're saying you're in the body of Christ. Right? There's no sin. Jesus said there's no schism. There's not even any divisions in my body. Divisions aren't disagreements. You see one thing one way, I see one thing another way. Because listen, if we're in the body of Christ, who's the head? Who's the head? Now, my head controls my whole body. Anybody ever get a muscle twitch? Huh? And you sit there and you're fascinated, your thumb's jumping, and you say, well, my brain ain't telling it to do that, or your hand gets to jump. Anybody ever done that? What do you do? It drives you nuts up here. You're like, that ain't supposed to be doing that. You grab it. You try to bring that thing. No, it's not supposed to do its own thing. Right? Right? Where you get that toe cramp that bends backwards? Bring you out of bed? You want that thing brought into control. Your brain's saying, the head's saying, that's not right. Do something. Fix it. And it arrests the body. It drives it nuts. Are you that member that drives the rest of the body nuts? Think about it. If you're going off and doing your own thing, because the rest of the body's lined up with the head. Well, if that's the way you feel, I'll just leave. And then you're saying, I'm separating from Christ. And any true body of Christ, any true group of believers is going to feel the same way. So if you go off and join another group that lets you do your own thing, what'd you join up to? There's a lesson on submission. Wives, submit to your husbands. How many times have you heard that? Forever. Chris, how many times do you go along with what I want to do, you agree with me? A lot. How many times do you go along with me and you don't agree with me? A lot. No. Submission is an agreement. Submission sometimes is self-denial to do what the head wants. Think about this a minute. Jesus is the head of the body, His body. There's no divisions. You might be here this morning and be in a religious organization, but if you're in sin, you're not in the body of Christ. Therefore, you're lost. Brother Matt, that's where we're at today. There's so much gray area people's allowed in the church. People can't distinguish. I tell you, I would not want to be some of the preachers on Judgment Day. Jesus said, either make the tree and its fruit good or make it evil. Either make it right or make it wrong. Amen. Dear ones, when you preach the gospel, there can't be any candy coating. We got to leave our ideas out to preach the gospel. And if you're struggling with sin, not temptation. If you are struggling with sin, not temptation, all men are tempted. And through that temptation, Christ makes a way of escape. But if you're struggling with sin, you're not following Christ. Jesus, listen to me. I'll get it by Scripture. And if you got some other thing going on, it's some man's idea or your idea. Jesus will never, and God's Spirit will never lead us to a place of temptation. He will never lead us to a place of sin. That's our own doings. It's possible, and you're perfectly able to live a life above sin. Just the way God said so. The lack of following God's Word is where many are failing and letting sin rule them. So I started out by saying, I'm taking the Word of God and I'm hiding it in my heart that I may not sin against thee. This is how important God's Word is to us. I thought about bringing the children up, but some of them won't come up. But every one of them I wanted to set up here and say, parents, look at your children. Look at them while they're in this young, formable age. Teach them the Word of God. Start teaching them the memory verses. Start right now. Put the importance on it. Right now, some of you parents, I know, your children, I've talked to them. They've talked to my wife. They want to be in Sunday school, but you don't want to bring them. They want to be in Wednesday night service, but you don't want to be bringing them because of whatever. There'll come a day and time, if you continue down this path, you'll really regret not getting them in service when they wanted to be in service. Because there will come a day and time when your attitude toward it will pass on to them. And then if you just look at history, each generation, when that happens, loses a little bit. Amen. Jesus said, suffer the children to come to me. That can mean two things. That means suffer to allow them. That means suffer to get them to it. Second Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. He said, you really need to know this. Not think about it, not that it might, but know this. You need to know this. In the last days, dangerous times, very dangerous times shall come. And we need to know this because it tells us what we should expect. Or when we see it happening, we're like, oh my. Look what it says. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Here's the dangerous part, verse 5, and every one of us could fall into this real easy. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. It's not saying from such people turn away. It's saying from such thoughts, from such things captivating your mind, you turn away from that. Oh, it's happening, and it's slowly happening, and yet people's like, well, I'm relaxed. He said, know this, this is a dangerous time because you're now denying the power of God when you don't have no more natural affection. I want you to think about the person you care to least be around in this congregation. You better be able to say, I love them, and mean it from the heart. Oh my goodness. Well, I don't agree with that. Submission. Submission. God said, I need to love people. A natural affection as a Christian is to love people. I think of Zacchaeus. He climbed up in the tree, wanted to see Jesus. And when he seen him, he got curious. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. And he went to Zacchaeus' house. Will you let Jesus in your house? Where you live? Where it's private? Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Well, Brother Matt, they used to preach you could live above sin, but I don't no longer feel that way. You just denied the power of God. You're in a dangerous time. You'll pray. You have no more hope in your prayers going up. Than it's just a habit. You don't pray expecting to receive something from God. Amen. Have you been there? Just going through a form, but not denying the power? Or not expecting, but denying the power? He said, this is the sort which are creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Our divers lust, our different lusts we have of the worldly things, they captivate us and they take us away. Now James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And if you go back and look in the Old Testament, James and Jambres were the two magicians that threw down their staffs when Moses threw his staff down. And as many men, not just two like the movie shows Ten Commandments, but it says as many men that had an enchantment laid down their rod, it became a snake. At the word of these two magicians, James and Jambres. They put on a show and it captivated people, but Moses put his rod down and it swallowed up. We don't know how many serpents. According to Hollywood, it was two, but according to the Bible, it was a lot because it said as many men that had them. Might have been 10, might have been 100, might have been 1,000. Who knows? And it put on a show for a little bit. Verse 9 says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men as theirs was also. You and I, our lives are going to be a witness to everybody around us. Just what we learned in Sunday school, our character, what we do. You tell people, I love the Lord, but what's your life say? What's your life say? Amen? What's your life say? What you do and what you say are two different things. And what you do gives the true witness. You need to know this, the Bible says. We come right down through there and we get the description of the dangers of the day. Brothers and sisters, it would do us real good to take us real serious and realizing this thing can be working on us. Excuse me. And in many cases, I believe it's already taken more people than they realize. God's word is taken so lightly anymore. It's taken so lightly. I used to think it was a joke, but it really bothers me now. People say, oh, we had a real good service. There was no preaching. Just singing and singing and singing, and it's okay to rejoice and sing. But there's something that has to come to examine us, to something that has to come where we can take that word and hide it in our heart and say, yeah, I've been studying that last week, and someone's expounding on that. Amen. Amen. Verse 5, we want to make sure we don't just have a form of godliness. So that brings me to this question today. You ask yourself, I'm not judging you. God's word will judge you. That's why a lot of people don't like it when preachers get to preaching God's word, because it judges you. That's what God intended for it to do. God wants us to have judgment now, so when we stand in judgment, we stand in judgment. We stand. The question is, are you saved? Are you saved? Well, I think so. Are you saved? Well, I think so. You should know. What are you saved from? You should know that too. Well, I'm saved from hell. No, no, you're not. You're saved from sin. He don't save us from hell. Religious people has, oh, God saves people from hell. And we use that term, but let's stop and think about it. God created hell. He did what? God created hell. That's where He places the unrighteous. God places them there by their choices. If they're unsaved, He puts them there. The saved go to heaven. There's no in-between. The saved from sin. People who no longer commit sin. Verse 21 of first chapter of Matthew. Talking about Mary. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what he shall do. Jesus saves his people from their sins. And then they live a life, they live his life that he laid out for them, and they live a righteous life. It's a life that God can look down on and smile upon. Because Jesus made the atonement for sin through His death, because He was perfect when He died, and He rose up a new, He didn't rise up a new creature, He was the same. He was pure as a human, He was pure in eternity. And we can be saved through Him. And again, we're justified by His death, but we're saved by His life. And that happens all, it's still happening. It's not a process where just a certain date this happened, a certain date that happened. There's a certain date that you accept the atonement, I'll give you that. But our salvation is a day-to-day living for Christ. We make choices. We choose right or we choose wrong. We choose good or we choose bad. I know people get into the discussion, well, what if you don't know about it and this, that, and the other? Quit bringing gray areas in. Live for God day by day. Get up. Lord, what would you have me do today? Oh, but I don't, can't take some time. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to take some time. You're going to have to seek God. David said, I sought Him with my whole heart that I might keep His commandments. Is God's commandment still important to you today? I mean, more important than just hanging as a decoration on your wall. Are they still important? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Is that still important? Oh, here we go. I get so sick and tired of this kind of stuff. I could be doing this. You might as well go do it if that's how you feel. You might as well just go ahead and go do it and enjoy what time you got. Because eternity is going to be miserable for you. Why would you want to go to heaven and live a sinless life and a righteous life in eternity where it's never going to end if you can't stand it here on earth? I often wonder, what's people after? God help us. She will give birth to a son, give him the name Jesus, and he will give His people salvation from their sins. God help us, saints, to open our hearts here, right now. Too much sin in the so-called saved people's lives. It's not a mistake. It's not a struggle. Those words make it sound easier. Mistake and makes it sound like it's not your fault. And I'll just say that. A mistake is something you correct. The struggle is something you overcome eventually. But when we lessen the blame or we try to shift the blame, this is the reason why people can't get victory over sin. Amen. You cannot be saved and sin at the same time. I know some will argue that point. And if you argue that point, based on what? What are you basing that argument on? Bring me book, chapter, and verse. Bring me book, chapter, and verse where you can be a sinner and a saint at the same time. Bring me book, chapter, and verse where you can be saved on Sunday and do what you want through the week. You can't. Because that would be a division of the body of Christ, what we just opened with. I'm sorry if this is boring to some of you. I'm excited. God is wanting people to take God's word and hide it in their heart and live by it. Based on what? Feelings, and there's no victory. And when that happens, there's no joy. And there's no joy because many have not hidden the Word of God in their hearts. And we don't hide the Word of God in your hearts. If you're down over something all the time, or you think you're bound to something all the time, you get in that Word of God, and it says, if you keep my Word, I'm paraphrasing it, and you study it, and you don't depart from it. I'm thinking of John 8, 31 and 32, I believe. Ye shall know the truth if you continue in my word. Ye shall know the truth, and it shall make you free. And when you're free, woo! When you're free, when you've been bound, and you realize the Word of God makes you free. That's why it thrills my soul, even the song, there's coming a day when no heartache shall come. Why? Because I'm chasing and pursuing after the righteous life that God wanted, that God laid out, and there'll be a day when I can lay the burdens down. There'll be a day when I can say, I'm not going to be sick anymore. There'll be a day when I don't have to deal with anybody that's sick anymore and have to watch a brother or sister die. That day's coming. Something to look forward to. Amen. A Christian that has no joy is they've lost sight of what they're even following. Because there's coming a day, this is going to get better. This will end. That won't. And I got to get through this. And I look for God in things. I've seen it yesterday in just a little saying, a teaching that woman that taught her daughter or granddaughter, life don't happen to you, it happens for you. And some things that happen for us, we're not too pleased with at times. But the Christian has a hope. Amen. Many have lost it because they've not hidden the Word of God in their hearts. It don't really mean nothing to them. Church is important to you. You've been taught church is important to you. You've been taught going to church is important to you. That's what you've been taught, a lot of people over the years in our generations. Got to go to church. Got to go to church. Why? Why are you here? Why are you here? I'd be afraid to pull a survey. Because mom and dad says I have to. Because that's what we was taught to do. We have to go and be bored to death to listen to Brother Matt talk for an hour, and then we leave and go home, and then we come back and go through the same thing Sunday night. Wednesday night's a Bible study. You haven't been taught why. You haven't grasped why you're here. You're here to have the Word of God stirred in your heart. That Word that you should have been studying and praying over and meditating on through the week. Because we are double-minded. The Bible says, don't let that man think he'll receive anything. Don't think you can go out and be part of the world and then be in church and receive the things of God. I preach and I fully believe that one can live a life above sin, a life that produces joy, a life above sin after salvation and during salvation. Why do I believe it? Because the Word teaches it. It teaches just that. I don't want it so hard that if you have sin and you're in a backslidden condition, you cannot recover, because there's Scripture that talks about that. But at the same time, there's so much sin abounding in the church, what calls itself the church, because the Word's not hidden in the heart. The Word's not hidden in the heart. Someone help me out. Is it in 1 Peter that we should desire the Word as sincere milk, as a baby desires sincere milk? Our neighbors, the Amish, got that baby. We was out on the porch the other day having our breakfast. And Ezra started crying. He wanted breakfast. You could hear him cry clear up through that valley. And he was, that little shaky cry they do. They sound like baby sheep. You can stick a binky. I've had enough grandbabies. We've been around enough babies. You can stick a binky in their mouth. You can give them juice. You can give them water. But when they want milk. First, read it for me, brother. When they want milk. That's a natural affection to a Christian. I'm desiring God's Word. I'm desiring God's Word. Why? I want to grow. Do you still want to grow? I want to be righteous. I want to walk in the steps of Jesus. Too many of us, brothers and sisters, we need to humble ourselves and admit we've just said we want Jesus to pay our price for sin. Where's our hunger and thirsting after righteousness? We shall be filled. Who's satisfied today? Let's look at some more scripture. 1 John. How do you desire the milk? That's a natural affection. See, you've been born of God. That's what it means when you're saved. You've been born again. Amen. Maybe some need to be born again. But nothing will satisfy us other than God's Word. That's the natural affection he talked about, we opened up with. Truce breakers without natural affection. I'm born of my Father. The church is my spiritual mother. God's Word is the manna. It's the milk that I can grow thereby. First John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen, and declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And true our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Paul was writing this, and if he hadn't, or John was writing this, and if he hadn't have wrote it, the joy couldn't have been full. He said, I'm writing this that your joy may be full. I want you to see some things here, he was saying. This is the message which we have heard from him. This ought to make you joyous, not sad. This is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Now, walking with him, does it mean, Lord, save me? I've been in sin. God, help me. I'm sorry. I don't want to do it again. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I admit it. You know what it means to confess sin? Does anybody know what the word confession really means? We've heard it. What's it mean to confess our sin? Tell God, I'm sorry. It's a deeper meaning. That's the Catholic meaning. I'm sorry. You pay for it now, Jesus. I said I'm sorry. The word confession, the best way they described it then was, I admit, I've done wrong, God, and you see it's wrong, and I agree with you that it's wrong. And I'm worthy of punishment because of it. And I've sinned against you. I've trespassed against you. That's what it means to confess your sin. But just to say sin is just a confession is just, wow, I'm sorry. God's got to forgive me. No, it means you think about it a little bit. You realize what it is you are and how separate you are from God when it happens. And he said he would cleanse us from all sin. Now, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. This is before conversion. If we confess our sins, look, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, cleanse is an ongoing word. Cleanse. And he's going to keep cleansing us from all unrighteousness. That's that conscience. That's that temptation. When you think, I'm going to do this, and something says, you better not. God won't be pleased with you. He's cleansing you from all unrighteousness. God's still got keeping power. And when we say, oh, no, but Brother Matt, about sin, that's because we don't want to put the effort into hiding the Word of God in our heart. We don't want to make the right choice. As Christian people, we don't even want to confront somebody in a loving way. When God directs you, when He's ever directed me to confront somebody with a little correction, it stirs me to the point I'm about brokenhearted before I even get to do it. And I'm timid, I'm nervous. I've heard some of you be really blunt. You've been blunt with me. You've been blunt with others. You don't care what they feel like. Come on, I'm going to bring it right down there where we live. You don't care because you're doing it out of your flesh. You're not doing it because God instructed you to do it. You're doing it because you don't like what somebody else did. And I've witnessed it, and I've had to try to repair some of that. And some of it's never been the same. You better go home and pray and say, Lord, if that was me that they were coming to, how would I want to be corrected? How would I want to receive it? It should stir you up before you want to hand it out. I knew of something I had to take care of this week, and it bothered me and bothered me and bothered me and bothered me that I laid in bed and I prayed, and I asked God, how do I do this? I don't want to be too strong, because there's a concern. If I'm too strong, and I can't never repair it. But God, if you lead it, it may come across strong, but it can be mended. And you got to have that, brothers and sisters, that kind of love, that kind of righteousness when we go after our brothers and sisters to try to put them back on the right track. Amen? But He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His Word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. I'm writing that you sin not. And if any man does sin, we have, not if he, when he sins, if any man does sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, that tells me my head, my spiritual head's righteous. Amen? And if I follow my spiritual head and he's righteous, what's that make me as part of the body? Righteous. My head loves the rest of my body. It does. It does. I don't never say what's real hot outside. I'm taking my head and I'm going in and setting the air conditioning. The rest of you just stay out here. If you burn your hand, your whole body does what it can to protect it and get it away from that source and get it under cool water. My head is righteous. Spiritual head. Verse 2 said, He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And He saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in Him. I want you to look at the verse 5. Whoso keepeth His word. Whoso keepeth His word in Him, verily is the love of God perfected. That ought to be our striving goal, that the love of God be perfected in my heart. If the love of God is perfected in my heart, a lot of things take care of themselves. It's going to take some effort on our part. It's going to take some effort on our part. Now go on over here to chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, pure. If we follow Him, if we go through the whole teaching of this, if we follow Him, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is, pure, without spot, without wrinkle. You know it says when we can boldly come to the throne of God? You ever thought about that? We can boldly come to the throne of God. When you boldly come to God and tell Him what your problem is, you better be spotless. Especially if it's a problem you're having with a brother or sister. Lord, this person is doing this. What's that spot right there on you? Boldly. He said we could boldly come. We better be pure. Look in verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. God give us all the tools. He give us all the tools to be this. Whosoever committeth sin made a mistake. That's what everybody feels. Nobody's correcting me. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins. So if they're still there, He didn't take them away. And in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him, verse 6, this is important. Whosoever lives in Christ sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. For this purpose, because man was sinning from the beginning, for this purpose, because of that, God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil is sin. It can be destroyed in your life if you follow Christ. If you'll hide His word in your heart. You can't just follow Him without hiding His Word in your heart. I can't stress it enough how important God's Word is. More important than our ideas, our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And we all have our loose thoughts. We all want things to be different sometimes, but they're not. I know I had a conversation with Sister Deb here a while back, and I said, I want the lesser. I want the lesser people to be there. And I don't mean lesser people, but people that teach less. I hope that it's a lot easier than what I make it. I want them there. But His Word teaches me it's not. I want it to be that easy, but the Word teaches me it's not. The Word teaches me I have to prepare myself. I have to seek after it. I have to prepare my heart for it. I have to take God's Word and hide it in my heart. I have to put some effort in it, because the Scripture says there'll be few there that find it. It's not going to accidentally happen. God introduces Himself sometimes to us through things, through tragedies, through an amazing thing that someone, act of kindness, does. He introduces us to Him sometimes that way. But then we have to start seeking Him with our whole heart. There comes a point in time you got to say, I'm going to make this choice. I'm not making that choice. I'm serving You, God. And you may stand out totally different than everybody else. And it's not always easy to be the one that's different. When true salvation happens, it's being saved, being born again, being born anew from above. When this happens, we're born into the body of Christ. We refer to it as the church, but it's Christ's body in which He leads and governs. You don't have to turn there, but real quickly, Colossians 1:18 said, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. In other words, He wants to be first. I'm trying to hurry along. Christ is the head of the body. The body is the church. People say they don't need to be in church. Think about this. When you make statements, you don't need to be in church. And I know the meaning is you don't think you need to be in with the group. But you're going to give an account for every idle word. And God looks at the church as the body. You don't need to be with the rest of the body. So the next time your hand gets to twitching, it's telling you it don't want to be with you. Cut it off. No, we won't do that. We won't do that. Why? What's part of my body? So when we have brothers and sisters that develop that attitude to the rest of the church, we don't want to say, cut them off. Love God, Brother Matt. No, we want to pray for them. We want that twitching to stop. We want that twitch to stop. Well, just go to them and tell them. I just told you we're not going to just cut them off. Amen. God has ordained that we meet together to encourage one another. You say, what? Why are you hitting on this again? Because it's a problem in our society today. Even in nominal religion, sectarian religion, you can call it, you listen to the reports. Church attendance is down, and it's going down, and it's going down, and it's going down. Our society, we've made some excuses for some stuff. A job is not your excuse. An education is not your excuse. A lame horse is not your excuse. You'll be a servant to whatever you're following. You will be. And people don't realize this, but we're losing people by the droves. Something else stood out to me. In Sam's graduating class, you know how on a class of, and religion was popular for a while. It's not so popular anymore. It goes through, in Sam's graduating class. I don't know how long he's been out. How long have you been out, Will? 10 years. Sam's been out 12 years. I think it was 5 or 6 we was talking about. They always tell what the kids want to do after graduation, what they want to go into. There was 5 or 6 kids that wanted to either go into the mission fields or become ministers out of Sam's graduating class. That was their desire. You don't hear that at all now. Church is just an inconvenience to people. Sunday's their day to do what they want to do. Sunday's their day. And you don't interrupt anybody's Sunday. That's their day. Amen. I got people who won't interrupt me on Sunday. My neighbors won't interrupt me. My whole circumstances is different. We knew you'd be at church. We didn't want to bother you. That's a pretty good witness to have to your neighbors. If you don't think it's important, I guarantee you the next generation, even in your home or whoever you affect, it's going to be even less important to them. And then when you get older and start having grandchildren and great-grandchildren and they know nothing about God, you own some of that. Because we're to train up a child in the way that they should go, not the way they want to go, where they should go. Everybody's talking about, oh, all this out here in these cities, it's just terrible. They're rioting and everything. Someone brought this to my attention. You know what generation's doing that? The generation that didn't want nobody else telling their kids no. They have no respect for authority. They don't even respect their parents' authority. You know why? Because the parents were so busy trying to be their buddies, they wouldn't be parents and teach them discipline and teach them, everybody answers to somebody. We got a society that's loose. Because they're not going to submit to nobody. There was a lot of times my dad brought me into submission. I didn't want to submit, but he brought me into submission. Amen? You spare the rod, you spoil the child. And that spoil meant ruin. We take spoil as we give them everything they want. You ruin people doing that. I didn't mean to get caught off on that. Amen. The more you separate from the body, for whatever reason, you might justify every reason in your mind, but the more you separate from the body of Christ, the less you respect your experience. And it starts getting weaker. And weaker. And the less you maintain it, the less you hear preaching and teaching and getting away from God's Word. I'll guarantee you this. For the most part, there might be a few exceptions to the rule. When people quit getting involved in the services, when they start, because we've heard this expression so long, people get saved, they're on fire, woo! They're running, and they start slowing down. Then we're faced with a choice. We're either going to grow or we're not going to grow. And when we do that, when we lose interest in the things of God, we lose interest in all of it. And what I'm saying is, when you no longer want to come to service and you feel it's not necessary or it's a chore, I'm just telling what the devil's doing. Truth be told, you're probably not picking your Bible up at home very much either. You're probably not praying too much. You might be telling God what you want. But I mean sitting down and opening the Bible and say, God, show me my heart. Show me my heart. It's just a trick of the enemy. And I'm not saying that you don't have other things you enjoy doing and follow. Don't get me wrong with that. But God's Word's got to have its place. When people quit following the head, they get into sin. Go read, I'm not for time's sake, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 26. It's talking about spiritual gifts, but it always refers to Christ as the head. And He controls it. But when we get into sin, we quit following the head. I'm looking for a place to get out. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 22. I want you to read this with me. And it's not going where you think it's going. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I brought all that out. I'm not preaching on marriage or how a husband and a wife should treat each other, but he was given that admonition, but he was comparing that to the church. So think about this. As a member of the church, brothers, as a member of the church, you're the bride of Christ. How's your submission to your spiritual husband? If your literal wife would submit to you as you're submitting to God, would you put up with it? Everybody understanding what I'm saying? If your literal wife would submit to you the way you're submitting to the church, would you put up with it? And if the answer is no, then you're not submitting to God the way you need to. If your wife treated you like you're treating God, Jesus, the head, would you put up with it? You're the head of your house. You're the head of your house. You set the standard. In most cases, you're the man. The buck stops with you, with what goes on in your house. And you sisters that are serving the Lord and the head of your home is not, I pray for you like you would not believe. God, give them wisdom. Help them. Encourage them. But I just want you to think about that. If your wife treated you as you treat Christ, how would it be with you? Are you struggling with sin? Let me ask you this. Are you truly following the Lamb? If you're following Jesus, you're not struggling with sin. We've dealt with this. On a lot of occasions, and not necessarily one more than the other. But everybody thinks people go to church don't have no struggles. But you do. If you're following Jesus, you're not struggling with sin. He won't lead you to a place of sin. And too many today struggle with alcohol. Not in the church. Did you see our box we had when I got out of it that one day? They struggle with dope. Some of it's legal because the doctors give it out. but it's got your mind all messed up. They struggle with pornography. They struggle with lying, backbiting. They struggle. They're not following Jesus. Well, Brother Matt, you're saying I'm lost. I'm going to church and I'm here and I listen. You don't all. You hide in the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against Him. I presented someone with I told you this week, you're going to make a choice. And this is the choice you need to make. The right one. But don't come whining to me if you struggle and you fall. Because you got a choice. I know if I go here, I'll partake of this. I know that. But if I go here, I won't partake of it. Sounds like an easy choice. But it's not unless you're following the Word of God. And when you follow the Lamb, it's easier. Amen. Because that's why people don't have no joy in serving the Lord. Their joy is not pleasing God. Their joy is still pleasing themselves and saying, I don't want to go to hell. Full submission to God. Full submission. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do what you want me to do. I may not enjoy the task you want me to do, but I'll do what you want me to do, and the joy comes from me being obedient to you. Too many are struggling with these things. And don't blame me preaching this, making you miserable. That's what old Ahab did to Elijah over there in Kings. He said, you're the one that troubled Israel? Elijah said, no, you trouble Israel. You're troubling Israel because you followed after, you broke the commandments of God, and you went after Balaam. You can read about that in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, 18th verse. Jesus came to save us from our sin. If we have sin in our life, we're not saved. Jesus said we need to stay close to God's Word. We need to commit our hearts to seeking God. So many have gotten so far away and want God to come to them when He said, seek me. We need to take His Word, study it, meditate on it, memorize it. I challenge you Wednesday night. The Lord started dealing with me on this a week ago. Start challenging people to memorize His Word again. Make your memory verses and memorize them. And then when something, just watch God work in your life. Pray and ask Him to give you a few. And once you start putting some effort into it, once you start seeing that you can do it, something will pop up in your life. And Scripture will come. And it'll take that impure thought out. Or it'll take that, hey, I need to do this because this is what Jesus would do. It may not even have nothing to do with what you're facing, but God's Word pops in there and you're reminded, I'm following after righteousness. I'm going after righteousness. Amen. Psalm 119:10, with my whole heart I have sought Thee. O Lord, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy Word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Who and what are you following? Many people say they're following Jesus, but then turn around and argue that you can't live holy above sin. You can if you're following Jesus. They might be following an idea, but that's not God's Word, because God will lead you in all paths of righteousness. The Word isn't hid in the heart. If the Word isn't hid in the heart, for reference sake, go read about the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And read the last part of the chapter where it explains it. But if the Word isn't hid in your heart, the enemy's coming to sweep the truth away. He's coming to devour it. Brothers and sisters, God's Word is golden. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. What are you following? Some more reading for you. Not going to preach on it. Just want you to let your mind think on it. Galatians 5:19 starts the results of the flesh. There's no joy mentioned in them first part, but what you get over to the other, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. I don't have no joy. That's because you're experiencing the results of the flesh. Read it. Read it. But that's going to require some changes. What do you want? What do you want? Amen. I've been faithful, brought the message God's laid. I know it was blunt, but there's joy in it. There's joy in it. There's joy in the service to the Master. Heavenly Father, we're thankful how you helped us today, Lord. We ask you to stir the minds and the hearts, Lord, of the saints. Lord, as the enemy, Lord, was constantly trying to take away the word that's hidden in our heart. But God, we're thankful, Lord, as we study on it, you can help us fortify it, Lord. And Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we can really use that, Lord, to help us be righteous, Lord, and to be able to boldly come to you. And God, we thank you for each one, Lord, how they paid attention, Lord. And Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.